for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the foundation that is Jesus Christ. We praise you for his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. His shed blood has paid the price in full for our sins, for all of us here today who have put our trust in him. Father, we thank you for that free gift of salvation. We praise you for the new heart, the new life that you gave us at that moment when each of us trusted in him. We pray that if there's anyone who's joined us today for this service who has not trusted in Christ yet, that they would do so today, that they would come to know him as their Savior and know the forgiveness and the new life that is found in him and the eternal life that is promised to us forever. Thank you, Father, that Jesus will never forsake us. We praise you for this hour. Pray for your blessing on the service. Bless Pastor as he brings the message and all of us as we worship together. Fix our eyes on you. May we learn much, draw closer to you, and leave this place changed. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Into the book of Acts. The book of Acts. I'm going to read from verse 14 of the first chapter through verse 13 of the second chapter. Okay, verse 14 of chapter 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word to our hearts, and we think of this wonderful portion of Scripture where we see the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, the birthday of the church, and we just rejoice that we are a part of that church today, and we just thank you that you will continue to help us as we go from day to day. We just thank you, Lord, for your constant grace and mercy to us. Thank you for your healing power, and pray that you will continue to bless each and every one of us, that we might love you and serve you in the way that we should. We just ask your special blessings upon the service this morning, and may each one of us receive something that will encourage us and help us. If there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ, that this might be the day to come to know him in personal faith. Lord, may your will be done. We do pray this morning, our Father, for those who've been sick. We pray that you will touch and heal them, bless them, strengthen them. We pray for Marie Wilson as she's having surgery tomorrow down in Florida. Pray that you will watch over her and see her through this, and that everything will work out well. We pray also for Jane Wagner, that you'll undertake for her and meet her needs, help her to find a place where she would be safe and secure, and that you would meet her needs in every way. We do pray for our country this morning, our Father. You know the situation in our nation. You know, with all the crime and violence and the problems at the border and all these other things that we face day by day. We pray, Lord, something could be done about that, that we might have order, that we might see things done decently in the way they should be, the way that you desire. So we pray your will be done. We think of the primary election on Tuesday, that we might be able to choose the right candidate for each office. And as we look forward to November, that your will would be done concerning the election. We just commit it all into your hands and pray that your will might be done in it all. Lord, we just think of the wars over in other countries. In Ukraine, it's been going on now for a long time. We pray that it might come to an end, Lord, somehow. We pray also for Israel, that they might win the victory there against their massive armies of their enemies, that they might be able to win the victory. Lord, we ask you now to bless your word to our hearts and help us today in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, to Acts chapter 1. Preparing for action. That's what they're doing here. You see, that Jesus, when he ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples that they were going to be going into all the world and preaching the gospel and reaching others for his name's sake. He told them to, first of all, wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 4, it says here. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says you have heard of me. Okay? So we have here, he tells them, first of all, wait. That's something that's not always easy to do, is it? You know, when you're excited about something, first thing he says, okay, go and chill out. Right? Is that what the young people say today? Yeah. Wait until the Lord says this is the time to go. And he's going to give you power that you need to be witnesses. here in verse 8 it says, you shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. First of all, wait until the Spirit comes. You know, they needed that power, the power of God working through them before they could be the witnesses of him. The apostles, along with the other believers, gathered together in one place. Some people say it's probably that upper room where they all gathered together, 120 people, praying and waiting, looking for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But now, with this 120, there was a problem. There were only 11 apostles. And Jesus had chosen 12, and they wanted to have 12 apostles to sit on the throne of Israel in case the people did repent. Now, of course, Judas Iscariot was the 12th apostle that had betrayed Jesus and had committed suicide. Afterwards, he was sorry that it happened, but it was all through the instigation of Satan. It says Satan actually entered into him, right? And he did this, betraying Jesus. But afterwards he was sorry, and he went and committed suicide. So now they only have 11 apostles. And Peter stands up and he says, it's necessary that we have 12. And I know some people say, well, they shouldn't have done it, but accordingly they did do it, right? And they chose this disciple to be one of the apostles. There were two candidates that qualified. Notice what it says here. What were the qualifications? It says in verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day when he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Did you notice that? The main message that they had at this time was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the most outstanding thing. Of course, he had died, yes. He died for our sins, but he arose again from the grave. And this was the message that the apostles constantly preached. But they had to replace Judas. And notice here, he gives scriptural evidence for this. Judas Iscariot was always listed last among the apostles, and he was never spoken of in a good light. Luke called him a traitor. John pointed out that he was a thief. Jesus spoke of him as a devil. And we find that Satan actually entered, as I said. And then Jesus also called Judas the son of perdition. He went to his own special place. He was not a follower of Jesus. He had never truly believed, apparently. He had some other motive for joining the apostolic group and thought perhaps that Jesus was going to lead a revolution and overthrow the Romans or something like that. And yet, of course, that was not going to happen. And he denied Christ, and he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. How much is 30 pieces of silver? It's not very much, right? But that's what they offered for Jesus, and he said, okay, we'll do it. Made a deal with the chief priests, and then afterwards he was so sorry that he went out and committed suicide. But it doesn't say that he repented. It doesn't say that he believed. He went out in despair. What a terrible ending that was for a man who had walked with Jesus, eaten with him, been with him for 3.5 years. Here he is hanging. And it gives this beautiful verse here about him. It says that he fell headlong and burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. You like that scene? Oh my goodness. And anyway, we see he did not have a happy ending. So now they needed to replace him, and they had these other two men that said they had to have been in the company of Jesus from his baptism until he was taken up from us. So this was someone who was one of the 120, I guess, that were there, and had been with them throughout the life of Jesus, and also that he would be, beginning from the baptism of John until he was taken up. And they appointed these two men. You notice that one man, they didn't know him as well. It says his name was Joseph Barsabbas, surname Justice. So he's telling the crowd here, Peter's telling them, this is the one other man. The other one, he just says Matthias. Because by then they knew who he was, because he became one of the apostles and the 12th one to take Judas's place and was able to carry on the ministry. And we don't know much about what happened in Matthias's life, but we know it says he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So he becomes the 12th one. And then we go into chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now the day of Pentecost was 50 days after. It was a Jewish feast held 50 days after the Passover. That's right. I wanted to get that right. It was a time to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest. At Passover, the first sheaf reaped from the barley harvest was presented to God. At Pentecost, the first fruits of the wheat harvest were given to God. Also, Jewish tradition taught that Pentecost commemorated the day when the law was given to Israel. Okay? On this special Jewish holiday, there were many pilgrims from all over the world in Jerusalem. No doubt this is one reason why the Lord chose this day to send His Holy Spirit to empower His disciples to witness for Him and to begin His church. So here we find the day of Pentecost now had fully come. They were all together. Apparently it's 120 people. All together in one place, they had been praying, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came. Sound from heaven, like a rushing wind, and it filled all the house. And they appeared cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here we find the descent of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost and manifested himself in this way, a rushing mighty wind. You know, Spirit and wind is actually the same word. And so I guess there's an intentional way of putting that, a rushing mighty wind and the tongues of fire. This is our God is a consuming fire. Fire purifies gold and silver, consumes the dross, provides light and heat. So here we have the Holy Spirit coming manifestly. Apparently we can't see the Holy Spirit, right? But we can see the wind, we are moving things, the fire coming, and all of that. And he comes to the waiting disciples according to the promise that Jesus had given to them. Let's look back a minute. John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 16. That he's coming. 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit coming is like Jesus being there as well. He's the one who sent him, and he's the same as Jesus himself, God with us. So here we find Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit was coming, and here is where he does it on the day of Pentecost. The people there in Jerusalem, so many thousands and perhaps millions of people there for the holiday, for Passover, and now for Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes. It says there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, dear believers, out of every nation under heaven. And when they heard all of this noise of the wind and everything, they came together to see what's going on here. You know, they were all amazed, marveled, saying, what's going on here? Aren't all these people Galileans? What are they talking about? We hear them speaking in our language. And it lists a great long list of languages here. And these people all heard the disciples speaking forth praises to God, it says. What were they saying? And down in verse 11, it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues and our languages the wonderful works of God. So they were praising God and glorifying him because of what he had done, and in saving them, and in the resurrection of Jesus and all of that. Peter here is leading the group and showing them the way that they should go. He says, we find here the Holy Spirit coming to fill the disciples and to begin the church. This is a whole new idea, well, to us anyway. The Lord knew about it, of course, all the time. But here we find all these people from different lands did not know what was happening because of all that was going on. And we find here that they were all excited, amazed, and in doubt. They said, what are we doing here? They said, something strange is happening. We hear God being praised in all these different languages. Others said, oh well, they're just drunk, right? They're full of wine. And now, I'm finishing early. I don't know how I did that. But anyway, let's go on to the rest of this. Peter starts his sermon here. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Hey, we just had breakfast. You know, we're not drinking anything like that. There's no way. And he says, don't think that it's anything like that. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. Okay, the Old Testament scriptures, then prophet Joel, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. So, last days, when everything has happened, Jesus has already come, he has already died on the cross, he arose again, last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Some strange things may happen, you know? And this is what's happening here. The Holy Spirit of God is working. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here, he's talking about, now some of this, of course, has not happened yet. This prophecy from Joel, he's talking here about the blood and fire and smoke and all that. That still has to come before the great and notable day of the Lord come, when he comes back again the second time. Peter here is quoting from the prophet, it's from chapter 2, to explain what was happening. And the explanation, he says here, beginning in verse 22, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Here's what happened. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So here, Peter is explaining to them the gospel, right? Here he's got this great crowd of people there, and the Holy Spirit is there present, working, and he proclaims the word of God in all of its fullness, how Jesus came to take away our sins. He's explaining here what it's all about, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah they had been looking for and that they rejected. Especially emphasizes the resurrection here a little later in let's read 25. For David, he's talking about the Old Testament now, what David did. David speaketh concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." So these are the words that David brought forth. And then he says, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." So, he says that David is not talking about himself. He's talking about someone else. Who is it? Verse 30. "Therefore, being a prophet," did you know David was a prophet? Yeah, he says that. "And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne," on David's throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So, here he says, David is prophesying about Jesus, that he's going to come forth from the grave. David did die, his body decayed, and his body is still there. Jesus died, and he arose again, right, on the third day. There's no decay there. And he is the one who has been raised up, and we are all his witnesses. That's what it's all about. They're talking about here the resurrection. Witnesses of the resurrection. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Okay? For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Who's that talking about? The Lord, Father, said to my Lord, Jesus Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Wow. Peter is telling them like it is. You crucified Jesus. That's the biggest mistake you could have ever made, right? You turned down the one that God sent to be your king. You turned against him. And now, what are you going to do? You have crucified the Lord Jesus. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted. They realized that they had sinned, that they had done wrong. They had crucified God's Son. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about this? What does he say? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with any other words he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, added unto them about 3,000 souls. So where we find here the power of the Holy Spirit working, Peter says to them, you need to repent. That he has turned from your in your way of thinking, your rebellion, change your mind, and follow him. Now here it says, be baptized. We know, we don't believe that it's water baptism that saves anybody. No, we don't. But this, he's saying here, if you are truly sincere about this, then you commit your life to Christ. You turn from your way of thinking about some other way of salvation and trust in Jesus alone as your Savior and Redeemer, and then follow him if you want to be his disciple. Salvation is by grace through faith, the scripture tells us. And we are to turn from our sins and turn to Christ, right? And then follow him in baptism as a sign that we are committed to him. That's what it's all about, I believe. It's not that we're saved by any kind of works that we do. It's all through what Christ has done for us. And he says, then, at this time, They had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now today the Holy Spirit has come. He came there on the day of Pentecost. And now we have the Holy Spirit as believers, right? He is available for anyone who will put their faith and trust in Christ and turn from their sins and trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. So that's what he's saying here to these. Now this is primarily a Jewish audience, and he has that special message for them directly. But we too have to turn from our sins and put our faith and trust in Christ as our Savior. And depend upon Him and Him alone for our salvation. So, we find here, he says they were 3,000 people. Wouldn't that be something? Huh? I've heard about some of these others I know today. I've heard baptizing all these people, thousands and thousands of them. How do they do it? You tell me. Anybody have any ideas about it? Would you please let us know, how do you reach these people? Oh, I wish I knew. Anyway, we have to continue to work and to proclaim the message. This is the message that Peter brought there on the day of Pentecost. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So, you see, it's not a matter, some people, I know we've been disappointed in some folks, they desire to be baptized, and then that's the end of it, right? You know? But that's not the end of it. That's only the beginning, right? That's where we're supposed to be starting. Put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Then follow Him in baptism. And then continue steadfastly. Right? Don't play around with this. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what He wants. That we follow Him and have fellowship. And serve Him day and night. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had all things common. So they were joined together in fellowship and communion. Now here, they sold all their possessions and all lived together. It doesn't say that we have to do that. But that's the way it was at the very beginning when the church first started. They did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily. Wow. That would be quite an improvement, wouldn't it? If the Lord would add to the church daily. Lord, we thank You for Your precious word. I've read this whole chapter now. And we just pray that You will bless Your word to our hearts. May we live steadfastly day by day. May we walk in fellowship with You. Lord, it's one thing to be saved, yes. We're on our way to heaven, praise the Lord. But we certainly need to live for You day by day and seek to help others come to know You as well and to see You add to the church. It'd be so wonderful if we could see that, Lord. Would You please help us to reach out to those around us, to bring others to know You in a personal way and have eternal life, but to have an abundant life here as well. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.